hands together as we welcome our brother, Pastor Julius. Amen. We're going to listen from the angel of the Lord this morning. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Okay, let's
see. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Did you have a good week?
Yes.
Can you say this day that you are blessed?
Yes.
Amen. You know, I just realized last week that sometimes we take the blessings of God for granted. The very fact that you can breathe, the very fact that you turned from the bed this morning and rolled over and you opened your eyes and you could see light or whatever you saw, it means that you are blessed. It literally means that you are blessed. If you have any doubts today, just look at yourself and look around and you'll see the blessings of God. Are you blessed today?
Amen.
I am blessed beyond a doubt. Praise Jesus. Yeah, I was with the pastor yesterday up to probably around 1 o'clock and he was okay. But he was exhausted, you know, from this running, you know, up and down. And this morning he called and he said that he's feeling feverish and weak. And they had planned that one of them was going to be here because they had some work that was being done in the house. And that really the people were coming in the morning. And the pastor was the one who was going to come. But as it is, it wasn't possible for him to come. Continue upholding that man of God, like Pastor Julius has said. This is what I know. That as you uphold the man of God in your life, God equally uplifts you up. But if you look down upon the man that God has placed in your life, you too cannot rise up. So continue praying for him. Raise him up. Pray that there will be barricades round about him or garrisons round about him, that angels will keep watch over him. And as angels keep watch over him, angels will be keeping watch over you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And this morning, what I'd like to share is something that probably has gone through your mind. Maybe you've heard these words before. Because truly, a lot of sermons that we hear, they are from the same book. The revelation is what is different. And this morning, as many as we are, you'll hear the word. But the way that the word will be revealed, for example, to Pastor Francis, will be very different from the way Steve will get that revelation. My challenge to you this morning is open your heart and accept the word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. And the title, if that's going to make any sense as we go through, is What is Man? O God, that you are mindful of him. Who is man that you, O God, are mindful of him? And as I was preparing these, I allowed my mind to go through some of the things that happen to man, or man does to God, yet God does not turn away from man. And I realized that the same way that we have, like in Detroit, Michigan, where we have the Ford cars being manufactured, and sometimes they don't function the way they function, and they are recalled back to the factory. They are not recalled to the Toyota factory. They are not recalled to the Chevrolet factory. They are not recalled to the Mercedes factory. They are recalled to the Ford factory. Those who made it. Equally, you and I, when things don't work out the way they need to work out, there is only one source for us. Back to our Maker. Praise the name of Jesus. A lady testified recently how she lost her house in foreclosure. She attended the auction intending to know the buyer so she could approach him or her to rent the property as she planned to exit from the house. She watched the auction as it switched from one person to the other, and finally a middle-aged woman won the last bid. After the auction was over, she approached the lady and explained her predicament. After she brought herself from crying and tears and wondering what this lady is going to say, that young lady held her hand and she prayed for her that it would be well in her life yet to come. The lady then pulled her and they walked together towards the auctioneer's desk where she was going to register the deed and pay the auction value. She wrote the check, and instead of writing her name, she wrote the name of the previous owner of that home, paid the auction price in full. She patted her on the back and told her, I came here for you. Have a good life. And she went on. On October 30th, 2010, Dylan Singletary, an 11-year-old boy, was run over by a tractor over his head. Dylan had a shunt in his head since birth and couldn't afford in the least to have his head bumped. An ambulance rushed Dylan to the local school where he was airlifted to St. Louis Hospital. And the hospital called the parents every 15 minutes as they drove to the hospital, telling them to hurry because he might not make it. By the time the parents got to the hospital, Dylan was already in the emergency room undergoing surgery. After several hours of waiting, he was out of surgery. The injuries, though, were severe. The tires that ran over his head weighed about 1,200 pounds. His head was crushed and his face badly swollen. The doctors said they may have to keep him for at least 2 months, but in 2 weeks, Dylan was talking and discharged from the hospital. And we have so many testimonies, and I know you too have testimonies that you've heard of how God has moved in people's lives. So these testimonies are not unique to me or to anybody else. We can talk about this Kenyan young lady who survived cancer a couple of years ago, and she had gone back home to see her mama for the last time, knowing that she'd never be able to make it. She had been told that she's got 6 months to live. And she came back and she had tubes coming from her body. And today she's gainfully employed after completing her nursing degree, driving a beautiful Mercedes vehicle. Or the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 damning years, getting completely healed by just touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Or the blind man by the pool of Bethesda who gets healed by a touch from Jesus. Or the childless mother who's crying and saying, "Oh God, open my womb that I may have a child." And then she gets pregnant with 3 children. God, who is man that you are mindful of him? Even the very trivialities, the very little things that we think about, beloved, God is concerned about them over you. And I'll tell you why. When God took time in the heavens and he says, "Let us make man in our own image," calling a conference in the heavens, "Let us make man in our own image," he knew that the person he was going to make was not going to be a failure. He knew that the person he was going to make is not going to be recalled because of defect. He knew that the person he was going to make is a person who's going to do exploits out there. He was going to be there for that person. There was going to be embedded in that person the microchip of heaven. And that's why, and I love quoting these Galatians 5:17, that from this day don't trouble me or don't bother me anymore, because in my body I bear in me the microchip, the scratch, the marks of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. We have an identity of the Lord Jesus. That wherever you go, somebody comes and says, "Are you a Christian? You didn't tell them. You didn't sing a song. You didn't go shouting, 'Praise God.' You just walked on your way and somebody just looks at, 'Are you a Christian?'" Because you've got the marks of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh God, who is man that you're so mindful of him? Think about, I read something on Friday, and this person was complaining and lamenting. And this is how it went. He said that, "I have been out of work since April of 2011. I have a family of 2 children, and my wife cannot afford to continue working the shift that she's working. She's working about 2 or 3 jobs so that the family can survive. I don't know how we have survived, but I know God has been there for us." How many people do you know that have been without job, and yet they have been survived month after month? Oh God, who is man that you are so mindful of him? In Psalms chapter 8 and verses 1 to 9, that is what I'd like us to read today. If you have your Bibles, Psalms 8. "Oh Lord, a sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?" Verse 5, "Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Today I want to challenge you, beloved, that as you look at yourself, as you examine yourself, you realize one thing, that you're a very important person in the presence of God. That God does not regard you as a nobody, that God regards you as very, very important. He will stop everything from happening so that he will reach you. He will stop something from going on so he can reach your life. He will stop something from going on so he can manifest himself in your life. Oh God, who is man, that you are so mindful of him. So mindful that you not want his foot to stumble, the psalmist says. That he watches over you. That when you open that door, some things you take so much for granted, that you don't stumble and fall and knock your teeth over. Why? Because he was watching over you. The Lord God Almighty, the sovereign God in heaven, he watches over you. How come that you still breathe in and you breathe out? Because the sovereign God watches over you. That your heartbeat has been beating from the day you were born. From the day you are born. And it's still beating even now. Why? Because God is so mindful of you. Praise the name of Jesus. In verse 5, you have made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with, number one, glory. Number two, with honor. Surely this, we must be very important in the presence of God. If you have no value, and sometimes things, the vagaries, the situations that we find ourselves in, they make us demean ourselves. And we find ourselves, surely God doesn't care anymore. Surely I'm nothing in the presence of God. It's not because of what God has done. It's because of what you've done to yourself. Or what you've allowed other people to do to you. Maybe they have spoken down to you. You will never make it. You are a loser. People from your generation, they never do this. People from your village, they never go beyond this level. You'll never make it beyond. You are a loser. You're just a loser. And you've absorbed all this and you can't make it anymore. Today I want to tell you that God is mindful of you. God cares for you beyond what you can even think or imagine. He has crowned you with glory. He has crowned you with honor. If nobody ever gives you honor, if nobody ever gives you glory, that's fine. Because the one who created you has crowned you with glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Because the one who created you, he has crowned you with honor. Praise the name of the living God. Number two, you have given them dominion over the works of your hands. Now, I don't know what you understand by the word dominion. I understand it as authority. You've been given authority. When you've been given authority, it means that you can speak, you can order. Pastor Karanja here can tell us better because he was in the military. He knows what it means to be a person of authority. Remember this person who comes to Jesus and he says that his servant is sick. And Jesus tells Moya, let's go to your house. And he says, no, we don't have to go. I am a man of authority like you are. And I can call one person, come, and I can tell him, go. Speak the word that my servant may be well. So we know what authority is. That you can speak and things happen. And today, what God is telling us is that he has given us dominion. He has given us authority over the things he has created. You missed that. God created so many things for us. All the things that you see have been created for us. But he didn't stop there. He said, you have that authority. You can call them or you can refuse to call them. So the authority is with you. If you don't effect that authority, nothing comes. If you don't inject life into that authority, nothing is going to happen. You have authority. You can call those blessings that are hanging out there to yourself because you have that power. You have been given that authority according to Psalms 8 verse 6. And then in part B of that verse, it says, you have put all things under their feet. All things under their feet. Why should you worry, my brother, my sister? Why should you cause yourself to be of concern that things are not working the way they are? They have been put under your feet, praise the name of the living God, that they cannot bring their ugly heads upon you. Those false accusations, you can bring them down because you are an overcomer, praise the name of Jesus. All sheep, all oxen, all living things that you can think or imagine, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, you have been given authority over them. They are all yours. What I'm being told here, because this is symbolic, is that you have authority to become what you want to be. You have been given authority to become what you want to be. But it is you who wants what you want. So it is you to call what you want to call. If you want to call sheep and oxen, if your desire is to be the greatest farmer that Dallas has ever seen, call on those sheep and those oxen. They have been given to you. If it is wisdom, call upon that wisdom. Whatever it is that you desire, call upon it. Because God cares for you. He cares for you so much that he says, I don't want any barrier between you and me. If it is anything to do with your wealth and your prosperity, there is no barrier. I have given you the authority. Call upon it yourself. So the question then is, so how come that we don't get what we are calling on? How come then that we are not the way that we want, we imagine or think that we ought to be? Think about it. You've been given that authority. So if that authority, if you've not imparted that authority, if you don't use that authority, nothing is going to happen. You'll remain the same way you were born. Just breathing in and out and waiting for that day to happen, and then you go 6 feet under. If they're still buried 6 feet under. Here some places a bit shallow. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Praise the name of Jesus. Who is man, oh God, that you're mindful of him? I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 going forth, and he says, do not fear, because in this world there'll be tribulation. In this world there'll be challenges. But he speaks to you and he says, do not fear, because I have redeemed you. I have purchased you back. I have bought you back. I have called you mine. From the beginning, you are mine. Even though you wandered away, you still became mine. I redeemed you. I paid a price for you. I said I came all the way to Egypt to redeem you. I paid a price for you to come back. As sinners, I sacrificed my son Jesus to redeem you, to buy you back. Even though you went on your own way, you are mine. You are redeemed. The psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say that I have been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that I am redeemed. When you go through the water, this is the assurance that he's giving you today. When you go through the water, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Just think about it. God, who is man that you're so mindful of him? Who am I that you're so mindful of me? Think about it. Think about the mistakes that you have done in your life up to this point. Some things that you have done, God would just have sent lightning and, you know, just barbecued you right there. Right there. But he didn't. Because he's so mindful of you. He's so mindful of you. He created you for a purpose, and he says that that purpose is not going to be accomplished. At that time, you need to live on. You need to be on. So you're here for a purpose. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm getting excited, people. I don't know about you. Because I know that him who created me, he has protected me. He has sealed me. And wherever I go, I know that I have been redeemed. I know that anything that comes my way, I will overcome. Because he's right there with me. Praise the name of Jesus. In this world, there'll be tribulation, people. In this world, there'll be challenges. In this world, there'll be mountains. In this world, there'll be accusations. But be of good cheer, because it says that you are mine. I have redeemed you. These things will not overwhelm you in any way. They will not overwhelm you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is mindful of you. He calls you friend. And if somebody calls you friend, it means he's going to be there for you. It means that if anything is going to happen to you, he will be there for you. He'll be there to stand with you. If I call you friend, Pastor Francis, and I see that you're going through issues, and I don't come and stand before you, I am not your friend. I'm not a friend. A real friend is a person who comes in and says, what is going on? I can stand in for him. I can stand in for him. That's who a true friend is. And God calls you Theophilus. Theophilus. God, friend. You're a friend of God. Praise the name of Jesus. A 21-year-old girl recently buried her head between her hands after she had her doctor pronounce these words, you are HIV positive. Not knowing what her future would hold, all her dreams suddenly coming to a sudden crush and end. And as she cried, wondering, what will my parents say? What will my friends say? What will happen to me? Her world came crashing down. But I'm reminded of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, 1 and 10. When Israel had been set free and they went to live among the Midianites. And God had told them, do not serve their gods. But Israel wouldn't listen. And they started serving the gods of the Midianites. But here's the thing. When they started serving those gods, you'd think that the Midianites would have accepted them and celebrated them and said, oh yeah, our church is now big. We are so many of us. No. Every time the Israel would go and prepare the land to sow, and the harvest comes up, and everything is ready for harvest, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern tribes, they would all come and start taking the harvest. And they would harass and oppress the Israelites. And this happened not just 1 year, not 2 years, but for 7 solid years. For 7 years, every year. Two things I want you to note. Number one, the enemy was coming during the season of harvest. Oh, come on now. The enemy was coming during the season of harvest. Do you know that the enemy is always targeting you when he sees that it is time for you to rise up? Every time he sees that you're about to rise up, he unleashes those demons to come and terrorize you. And if you're not careful, you'll be drawn into those mysteries and start fighting back when you need not to fight back. And this is the trouble that Israel went through. They started not knowing what they're going to do. And so what they did, they went to the mountains and they went to the caves and they started hiding their things there. And you remember that's when Gideon was hiding somewhere when he was threshing the wheat or something. He was hiding from them because he was afraid. He was afraid if they see me, they'll also come and take this. Actually, if you read this, it's a good section, part of the Bible to read. Gideon 6, 1 to 10. It's a good part to read. It actually says that after they left, after those Midianites left and the Amalekites and those other tribes when they left, the land was left so bare. There was literally nothing on the ground. And what happened is that the Israelites started becoming malnourished. They have nothing. They became weak, they became frustrated, they became angry with themselves and with God. Are you in such a situation today where you ask yourself, God, I have done everything. I have done everything that I've been asked to do. I go to church, I serve, I go to cashiers and everything else that I'm supposed to do. Things are not working out. What is going on? What is going on with my life? Does your suffering stop God from caring for you? Does your tribulation scare God so that God, oh, no, this suffering is too much. I'm going to have to stand aside. God still cares for you. God still cares for you. And one of the things that the children of Israel did is that they called upon the name of the Lord. After they had tried everything, they tried hiding, they tried doing whatever, they tried even planting maybe somewhere in the mountain so that these Amalekites and the Midianites don't come. Even though they struggled and did everything, they were still oppressed. They lived in oppression for 7 years. 7 years of oppression. That's frustrating. That is frustrating. And they tried everything. But let me tell you, children of God, there is one thing about oppression. When you are oppressed, you start seeing God. When you are oppressed to your limit, if you are careful though, not just generally, but if you are careful, you can open up your eyes and say, I need to go back to my God. Because that's when the Israelites remembered, we need to call back. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to call the name of the Lord. When you've been pressed so much, everything you've tried has stopped working for you. When every bill that you're paying, when all the money that you're getting, every check has a name, every dollar has a name, and you're left with nothing, and you're wondering, God, what is all this? Why did even I come to this country? Let me tell you, there is something for you. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a reason why you're going through this. Don't lament back and start insulting God. There is something for you there, beloved. Because at that point, when they reach the end, they say, we have tried everything, and it has failed. And they say, oh, God of Israel, help us. Help us. We are stuck. Things are not working. And you know, God is so gracious. You know, he would have sat back and said, I told you. Now, sort yourself out. You know, like some parents would do when their children get into trouble after being warned. Say, I told you. So then the parents would just stay there and see what's going to happen. God would have done that, but he didn't. Because God is merciful. Who is man, O God? That you're mindful of him. Why does God go through so much trouble to help man? Even when man digs his own holes and falls into the same hole. Yet God still goes out there and says, come on, son. Come on, move out. This is not your place. This is not where you belong. I want to suggest that the first thing that had happened to Israel is that they had opened the door for oppression. And the way they had opened the door for oppression is by following after the other gods, doing the things that they had not been told to do. And it's very easy for us to quickly run and accuse Israel they were disobedient before the presence of God. But before we do that, let's first of all examine ourselves and ask ourselves, why, or how did we reach where we are today? How did we reach where we are today? And it's so easy sometimes to slip away from the grace of God as we pursue the things, the dreams of this world, as we pursue the goals, those with things that we call goals in our lives. It's so easy to slip away from the grace of God. And you find yourself in a situation that is very unfamiliar to you. You find yourself in a place where you're being oppressed and you don't even know what you're supposed to do. I've got a solution for you. The first thing you need to do is to call upon the name of the Lord and he will hear you. Check your life and find out which door did you leave open. What is it that I did that I left this door open, that I have so many oppressions that are coming in my life? Are there things that you have involved yourself in that you shouldn't have? Are there things that you have said or involved yourself in? Are there communities? Are there relationships that you have engaged yourself in that you shouldn't have engaged yourself in? Have you become so negative in your life that no one wants to associate with you anymore? Have you brought in other religions, Western religions, Eastern religions, the things that God told you do not get involved in these? Have you forgotten what makes you? That what makes you, what is what you hear and what you read? And you have allowed those things to come through your ear. You have allowed yourself to see things that you shouldn't be seeing. And they're going through around your mind, marinating themselves, and you become a different person. And what we see on Sundays is nothing but just a ghost of a person. Have you forgotten that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Have you opened your heart to every sound and wave that comes around? And have you followed yourself so blindly and you start wondering in yourself, how did I even get here? Oppression does not come from anywhere. It's not just something that just comes and targets. Yesterday I was listening to some of the speeches of Martin Luther King Jr. And one of the things that resonated with me is that there is no way you can fight oppression with oppression. There is no way you can fight hatred with hatred. You got to have some love. And somebody said that in the Church of Christ today, if there is any enmity, it is its largest or it's seen most in the Church of Christ. Where people hate each other, but when they come to church and they lift up their hands, you think these people are so loving, so kind. You know, they are such wonderful people. But in their hearts, there are people in this congregation that don't speak to one another. There are people who don't like one another for reasons that are not even economical, because they don't live in the same house, they don't pay their rent together, they don't pay their mortgage together, they just hate each other because one person is going up, the other person is stagnant, because the other person is favored, the other one is not favored, and whatever other reasons, there are myriad of them. It's time to get out of this thing. These are the things that are stopping us from getting to where God wants us to be. These are the things that are oppressing us, beloved. These are the things that are oppressing us. Have a moment to reminiscence on who you are today. Ask yourself, how did I get to where I am today? Remember Samuel, in 1 Samuel, he placed a stone between Mizpah and Jeshne, and he called that place Ebenezer. He says, this place, this far, has been the Lord. It's not the degrees that you have carried or the degrees that you have earned. It is not the wealth of the vehicles that you have or the business that you transact in or your shrewdness in doing business. It is none of that. It is God. It is God. Praise the name of the living God. In Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, two verses that are really so life-changing. That this man looks at his life and he wonders, for how long am I going to live this life of torment, this life of nothingness, this life of emptiness? For how long am I going to live in this life? And this person has value in himself, but he calls upon the name of the Lord and he calls, oh God, bless me. Oh God, bless me. And why would he have such courage and such strength? Because he knew one thing, that God cares for him. And all these years, by the way, God was still there and Jabez was still there. Jabez was still toiling in poverty and eating nothingness, and God was still reigning in majesty. God still remained sovereign until Jabez, oh, you're hearing this in a different way, until Jabez came to his senses and decided, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And he says, oh God, bless me. How many of us today have kept on wondering, oh God, look at so and so. Look at the way they are living so well. And you're living in a situation where you're not even able to make your ends meet, if there are any ends. So your ends are like this. They are struggling to meet each other. And yet all that you need to do is to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Bless me. Bless me. A time had come for him to be his own man. A time had come for him to have his own identity. A time had come for him when his eyes were opened. And it just doesn't happen. It is accumulation of events. And if you look at your life, there are things that have happened. But I need to challenge you and tell you this, beloved. Do not ignore that voice of God in your life. When it urges you and tells you, it is now. Call upon the name of God. It is now. There are times when you may call upon it because you've seen other people and say, oh, bless me like Pastor Francis. Bless me like Francis right there. Bless me like Jimmy. Bless me like Alan. God bless me. And you wonder, God, why aren't you blessing me the way you've been blessing other people? Because it's not the right time. But when that time comes, when that day comes, beloved, and you call upon the name of the Lord, I am telling you the heavens are going to stop. The traffic lights in heaven are going to stop as they celebrate with you, because doors are going to open in a way that you've never seen before. Answers will be coming down running. So I'm urging you, don't be exhausted. Don't be frustrated that your answer is not coming as fast. God still cares for you. It's like stopping in a traffic light. And you wonder when, you know, and you're running late to work. And you wonder, where will this light, when will they be green? Just hold on. Your time will come. They will be green and you will go. The same thing. Your miracle is coming through. Your answer is coming through. Don't be frustrated. In one congregation like this, somebody will be shooting up and being blessed and going to other levels. Somebody else will still be there struggling. If you are that person, hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. God is coming through for you. When that day comes, and call upon the name of the Lord and tell him, oh, God, bless me. Don't say, God, bless me like Julius, because you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how I've struggled to be where I am today. You don't know what pain I have had to carry to be where I am today. Ask God to bless you because you are you. Tell God, bless me. Bless me. Extend my territory. It doesn't matter how little it is. God, expand it for me. And I know beyond a doubt that he will do it for you. Praise the name of Jesus. When that day came, Jabez was never the same. And when that day comes for you, beloved, you will never be the same again. You will not say that the blessing of Julius, we will not be saying the blessing of Jabez, because I've seen even books that have been written about the big or mighty prayer of Jabez. It's going to be your prayer. There will be books that will be written about your miracle. There will be books that will be written about what God has taken you through. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, God is a good God. Thirdly, God does not leave you alone because you're going through oppression. That your oppression is so immense, so intense, that nobody wants to get involved with you. Call upon him. When the Israelites got tired of hiding in the mountains and in the caves, they remembered their God. Sometimes because of our own efforts, because of our own knowledge and understanding, we want to do things the way we understand them. And so we want to go and hide in the mountains because the trouble is too much outside there. But like I said before, sometimes it's good to go through oppression. Sometimes it's good to go through trouble. Because when you go through trouble, you remember your God. And when you remember your God, you remember that he cares for you. You remember when you're going through that turmoil, when you're going through that situation that nobody understands, and we see you coming to church and you still have a smile on your face, all that you know deep down in your heart is that God is working in me. God is moving in me. God is holding my hand. I know I am not alone. And so, beloved, today, it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what challenges you have encountered in your life. He will see you through. He is right there with you. Call upon him. Oh, God, bless me. God, bless me. At the point of suffering, other forces are also trying to win over you. Did you know that? When you are at that time, when you are suffering, it's like when Job was in that situation. Never did anything wrong. God knew that he was faithful. God admired Job. But the devil was jealous of Job. And because of that jealousy, he says, you know, I know what the problem with this man. Just give me a chance, let me deal with him. And you know, that faithfulness you're talking about is not going to be there anymore. The rest is history. In the time of oppression, in the time of your suffering, somebody else is struggling to try and bring you down. Did you know that? You're missing this point. I know we are in church, but this is the reality. This is the truth. It is not everybody who celebrates you when you're being blessed. Beloved, it's not everybody who celebrates you who says, I'm going to pray with you when you're suffering. There are actually people who are actually there saying, no, if you could only have seen her. You know, God is dealing with her. At that time of your oppression, at that time when you are suffering, at that time when you are down there wondering, oh God, who will remember me? There are some people who are celebrating. There are people who are so happy with you. But God, oh my goodness, but God, he is mindful of you. God is not man. God is not man. Let them all go away, but one person will stand with you. God will stand with you. Let them go wherever they want to go. Let them say whatever they want to say. But be faithful to God yourself. And tell God, oh God, remember me. Remember me, oh God. And I'm telling you, God will remember you. God will remember you. Tribulations will be there. Oppressions will be there. There are times that you'll not have enough money. That's a fact of life. But it's not time to give up. It's not time to despite yourself. It's not time for you to bring yourself or to humiliate yourself. It is not time for that. It is time to look to God and tell him, oh God, remember me. Remember me. And he will remember you because he is God. Praise be to God. Don't be afraid when your friends abandon you. When you feel that you're alone, when nobody listens to your words anymore, when friends one by one start going because you've been struggling. Because you know when you struggle for too long, people walk away. They say, oh, this one, he's just full of problems. I don't want this fellowship with problems. Because when you go to visit this person, it's just problems. I want to move away from this person. It's all right. Move away. Because when the blessing comes, you cannot withstand it. Praise the name of Jesus. The blessing of God is going to come upon you. All that you need to do is to be patient. That moment of waiting is a very hard moment, especially when people run away from you. People go away from you. People don't want to fellowship with you. When you say a word, they want to criticize you. You start hearing from other avenues in other cities, you know, oh, he said, she said. And all that you're saying is that, you know, I'm in this situation. Pray with me. You start being broadcast in Facebook and other books. Let me tell you, God will never leave you alone. He is so mindful of you. He is mindful of you. God is mindful of you, my brother. God is mindful of you, my sister. Don't be discouraged by what people are going to say. Don't be discouraged by what people are not going to say about you. Don't be discouraged when they post whatever they post in their Facebook and they start putting it in a ways that they'll never identify it's you. And you really there, so they are talking about me. It's okay. When your day comes, oh my goodness, when your day comes, they will have nothing to write. They will have nothing to write. When Job was tested, there is one thing he knew. I'm not going to drop my anchor anywhere else. I'm going to drop my anchor in Jesus Christ. So that wherever I'm going to be tossed, because he knew that when oppression comes, you're going to be moved away with emotions. You're going to be moved away with your feelings as a human being. He didn't remove himself from being human to being a spirit. He knew he was still going to be a human. But he said, I'm going to anchor myself in God. And so when he was cast, you know, in those waves and cast in another wave and cast in another wave, he kept remaining. He stood right where he was anchored on. Praise the name of Jesus. Anchor yourself in Christ Jesus. Anchor yourself in Christ so that when you're being moved by these waves, when friends are rejecting you, when people are speaking against you, you are still firmly grounded in the name of Jesus. When they reject you, when you go to work and they're saying things that you don't understand, when you're writing things and they're bouncing back on you, when you're speaking words and you're being echoed differently, anchor yourself in the word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. That rock will be your salvation. That rock remains your hope. That rock becomes your answer. That rock becomes your blessing. Praise the name of Jesus. I am so excited about being a child of God because I know one thing. God is mindful about me and God is mindful about you. The devil is a liar. Do not allow any devil to come and lie to you and tell you, you're done, you're gone. That's a lie of the devil. God is not done with you yet. He is still working behind the scenes. He is still building those walls for you. He is still working out those doors of miracles for you. And he's waiting for you to call upon him. He's waiting for that moment when you say, God, bless me. And he says, I was waiting for that one. Here is your blessing. He's waiting for you to invoke that authority and say, I call those things that I do not see right now. As your mind becomes clear, as you mature in your faith, as you mature in your personality, and he brings you to that level of calling those things, they start coming to you. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if that time is not right, they will never come. And you'll call the whole night, the whole Kesha, and nothing is going to happen. You'll just leave this morning, in a morning, and your voice will be hoarse. Because you are calling things, but it was not your time. And I'm telling you, I don't know how I can explain this, but I know beyond a doubt, every person knows when it is the right time. Every person knows when it is the right time. You know, we are spirits. Beyond everything else, we are spirits. If I took time right now and just communed in spirit with my sister, even without talking with her, I would know what is going on. Because that's who we are. That's what God created us, as spirits. I can know whether there's a trouble in her heart. I can know whether there's a tribulation in her heart. I can see there's joy in her heart. Because we are spirits. And in a similar way, God communicates to us in the Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. And you can know that, you know, the more you keep on digging into the Word of God, the more you keep on, you know, searching the Scriptures, you start feeling, I think the time is coming. I think I'm getting ready for this. I think I'm getting excited about this. Oh, God, bless me. And that is the time the blessing comes through for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Who is man? Oh, God. That you're mindful of him. You know, God is not going to be moved because of the things that you have done. And let me shock you, if I can. It's not the amount of check that you give today in church that is going to move God. I'm not saying you don't give. It is not because you gave $1,000, and it's not because you gave $5 that moved God. God will still move anyway, with or without. God is going to move. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, God loves you anyhow. Anyhow. It doesn't matter what your journey has been like. It doesn't matter what you are going through right now. It doesn't matter what the devil has planned for you ahead. It doesn't matter what life has presented you with. God will still care for you. There are things that happens in our lives and we sail away from God's goodness, because we are dealing with issues that are deeper than we can think about. But in everything you do, anchor yourself in God. Anchor yourself in God. So that when these things happen and you're swayed, whichever way you're going to be swayed, that you'll know that you're firmly planted in Christ Jesus. That you know you're firmly founded in God. That you'll know that, you know, they will come. They will hit me. I'll be bruised. But they can never take my life away. Because when that day comes, when that moment comes and you call upon the name of the Lord, that will be the day for you. Praise the name of Jesus. You are highly favored. You are blessed children of God. And this week, as you go out there, go with confidence. Remember, the words that you speak from your mouth, they are coming from your heart. So take care of what is you're building in your heart. If what you've planted in your heart are seeds of complaining and seeds of discontentment and seeds of worry and seeds of fear, it starts coming out, you know, growing out of the words you speak. You start speaking doubt, you start speaking confusion, and that's what becomes you. But if a child of God, what they do, they take care of your heart. They make sure that what is in my heart is going to be a good seed. So that even when the enemy comes and takes it, they cannot even use it. You know, the devil cannot use a good seed. He has no garden for a good seed in hell. So let's have good seeds in our hearts. Then when you speak those words become alive. You become a blesser. That's what the Bible tells us, that you need to bless those people who are cursing us. Those people who are causing trouble in our lives. Just bless them. I bless you. That's okay. Thank you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Have a good day. And you keep on going. And they start wondering, what is wrong with this person? Because I'm blessed anyhow. I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm blessed. When you're laying your head to rest, my brother, my sister, you are blessed. Otherwise, you'd not even get that sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you know, when you open your eyes, you are blessed. When you open that door to go, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Child of God, you are highly favored. And I just want to encourage you today that regardless of what life is going to bring to you, regardless of what life is going to bring to you, God cares for you. It's not what you've done. It's not what you have not done. God still cares for you. Let's stand up, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. We want to bless your name. We exalt you, God, because you're a good God. We thank you, God, because today we are a blessed generation. We thank you, God, because, God, you've set us, you've separated us, oh God, for a purpose and for a reason. We thank you, God, because you've assured us today that no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we are a blessed people because you are caring for us, because your hand is upon us, dear Father. We thank you, dear Jesus. We exalt your name, oh God. Today, Lord, in this sanctuary, there could be somebody who is going through issues in life. Issues they may never understand where they came from. Some form of oppression, some form of pain, some form of whatever it is, but it's not bringing peace in their lives. God of all hope, I'm praying today in the name of Jesus. May you bring peace in their lives, oh God. May you bring hope in their lives, oh God. Maybe it's a financial need. May you meet with them in the name of Jesus. Because you are God and you say that you care for them. Even when we have lost value in ourselves. Even when we don't know what is in us, oh God. Even when we don't even know what we want ourselves. God, you are so mindful of us. You care for us. I'm praying that God have that opportunity today to care for your children, oh God. Those today that are having cares and concerns, oh God. They don't even know how to call upon your name, oh God. I am praying that God, you may reach out to them today, this moment, in the name of Jesus. And that your peace that surpasses all human understanding, oh God, will be present in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Be their answer, Lord. Be their hope. Assure them today that you are mindful of them, that you care for them. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.